Welcome to Horse First. This is a podcast about beginning with the horse, about paying attention before we explain and listening before we decide what something means, which, as it turns out, takes a bit more skill than it sounds. It's not about blame. It's not about being right. It's about widening the view and learning to carry responsibility without hardening. I'm Lockie Phillips. This is a space for curiosity, steady practice, and skill that keeps the horse at the center. Let's begin. There is a question that lives beneath the question, can we be horse first? There is a question beneath that question of, can we be horse first? Every so often, someone asks a version of this question. If you're horse first, what about the human? And it's a fair question because horse culture has a long history of swinging between extremes. One extreme says, the horse doesn't matter enough. And the other says, the human doesn't matter at all. So people wonder if horse first means erasing ourselves, if it means becoming invisible, if it means sacrificing human needs, if it means pretending we don't exist. But that's not what horse first means. Horse first is not human last. Horse first is human first automatically, not because we center humans, but because when we truly center the horse, the human has to change. And the human changing is the whole point. So why does a horse-first approach to training require us to be better people? You cannot put the horse first without developing the human. You cannot. It's impossible. Because the horse doesn't just respond to technique. They respond to nervous systems, to timing, to emotional clarity, to groundedness, to the kind of presence and energy you bring into a space. And a horse doesn't experience your intentions, they experience the way your intentions organize and then impact them. So, if horse first means listening better, the human has to become someone who can listen. If horse first means reducing harm, the human has to become someone with restraint. If horse first means to be clear rather than forceful or dominating, the human has to become someone who can tolerate uncertainty. That is human work. Let's give a real life example. Think about a horse who hesitates at the mounting block. A horse first approach doesn't say, make them stand still. It says, what is the hesitation telling us? That immediately asks something out of the human. Can you pause without being frustrated? Can you stay curious to the pause without collapsing? Can you adjust without feeling shame about your change? Horse first trains humans into increased capacity, not decreased. The world, in my opinion, already centers humans by default. Here's something important. We live in a world that rarely asks humans to be selfless. Where is the lie? Tell me if that's a lie. Most systems are built around human convenience, human timelines, human goals, human comfort, human status. So when someone says, what about the human? Often what they mean is, will I still get what I want? Horse first is radical precisely because it interrupts that default. It creates a rare space where the human is not the automatic center. And paradoxically, that's what makes it good for us too, because we cannot thrive when everything revolves around us. We become anxious, we become performative, we become brittle, emotionally brittle or fragile. Let's use a real life example. A rider pushing through a training plan, even though the horse is tired. The rider thinks that they're being disciplined. that they're being consequent, that they're strengthening the horse. But horse first asks, is this discipline or is it ego? Is this progress or is it inappropriate pressure? That question doesn't harm the human. It actually invites you to be more free. It returns you to your integrity, and your integrity can set you free. So the idea is that horse first is two birds, one stone. You don't need to talk about human first directly because horse first already does that work. When you focus on the horse's experience, the human becomes more regulated, more skilled, more thoughtful, more humble, more capable, not smaller, better. Let's use another real life example. A horse who has been trained harshly, and as a result, they become quiet, compliant, obedient, but not much life to them anymore. A horse first handler does not celebrate that quietness. They ask, is the horse okay? Or are they just absent by default? To hold that question, we have to develop a kind of maturity. We have to develop a kind of tolerance to complexity. And that's human growth. Horse first produces human beings who can stay present without dominating. And that is so rare and that is so valuable. It's like a holy grail with a horse to be present without dominating. And it is deeply human first in its outcome. And here's why I think we don't need another human-centered movement. The reason horse first matters is because it refuses to make the horse a backdrop to human self-development. That horsemanship is not human self-help with the horse as a style prompt. The horse is not our mirror, and they're not our therapy tool, and they're not our spiritual project or our object. The horse is a living being in real relationship to its world and to themselves and to others. And when we truly treat them that way, something awesome really happens. Human beings, we become more ethical without needing to be so self-centered. We become more accountable without collapsing the shame. And we become more emotionally competent because our horses simply require it of us. Horse first is not about purity, and it's not about punishing people. It's about fair proportion in our world right now. Another real life example. A person who learns to slow down for a horse often finds they can slow down in the rest of life too. Not because someone taught them self-care, but because a horse demanded that that human being was honest about pace. And that's human first by consequence. The horse provided a consequence that demanded someone learn pace, and pace takes care of the person as much as it takes care of the horse. So what kind of human being can horses invite us to become? Horses invite to us a particular kind of humanity, which I think in this day and age is sadly going out of style, and I'm determined to not make it a fashion, but just make it a norm for those who resonate with it. A type of humanity that is neither domination nor self-erasure, but a steady middle. A person who can lead without force, listen without disappearing, and be clear without being heavy or manipulative. Because that doesn't just protect horses. Again, it produces better people, not through slogans, not through marketing, but through practice, through practical relational work in the field with our horses, through learning to take up the right amount of space, the right amount of space, proportion, not self-erasure. I think horse first is the shortcut to being human first. So if you've ever been worried that horse first means neglecting people, let this be the reassurance. You cannot put the horse first without becoming more human, without becoming more regulated, more honest, or more capable. In a world that already centers us by default, horse first is not a threat to us. It's a correction, and it's one of the very few paths that helps both species at once. So here's a question, a gentle question I'd like to leave us all with. What would change, not just in your horse, but in you, if the horse truly became the center of the work? Because horses notice, and so do I. Thank you for being here. I really hope that helped someone somewhere. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye for now. That's it for today. If something in this episode stayed with you, take it with you into your next moment with your horse, because that's where this work will really come alive. If you would like to support this podcast, a simple way to do that is by leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon. It will help more people to find these conversations, and it would mean a lot to me. Horse First with Lockie Phillips is distributed by the Believe Audio and Video Network. And just a gentle reminder, the content of this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and are not a substitute for professional, veterinary, or medical advice. I'm Lockie Phillips. Thank you for being here.